Well, again, I want to greet everybody, and it still sounds too echoey to me. Praise God. Josh, are you here? Help me. Thank you, Lord. Is the camera running? Well, one quick testimony then while they're doing that. Who's got a quick testimony? Jump up. Brian, can't beat him. Just got no mic, Brian. Use your voice.
Praise God, church. How are you doing?
I asked you to share a testimony.
I need a miracle through you as well. Because if I share a testimony, you don't believe that. It's not going to work. So if God does a miracle on me, he'll do it through you. Amen. Someone on the street is walking along. I've seen an ugly lady walking. And you can tell by how she's walking, she's in pain. You know? So I said, how are you doing today? God loves you so much. I said, do you have any pain in your body or anything? She says, why do you ask? I said, because when I pray, God heals people. And so she said, well, actually, my knees bother me. I go for walks, it always hurts.
Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Brian. If you got your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So again, we'd like to remind everybody that we meet here on Saturday night, where we have more time, more liberty, more open mic sessions, where people can share their hearts, share different things that God's doing in their lives. And you're all welcome. Next Saturday in particular is the Now Generation. So invite young people that are hungry for God. Amen. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The message to the lost in this world is you must be born again. And the reason why that message is so important is a lot of people do not realize that through Adam, each and every one of us was born separated from God. In the beginning, when God made man in his image and his likeness, he made each and every one of us. I want you to say that again. In the beginning, when God made man in his image and in his likeness, all he wanted from him was simple obedience, simple fellowship, relationship, to work together, to walk together. And Adam, in his own quest for his own knowledge, decided to disobey God. I'd like to remind you that the tree that he was told not to partake of was a tree of knowledge. It was a tree of knowledge. It wasn't a tree of sin. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the quest for knowledge that is still insatiable in the heart of man. That people are always looking for knowledge, for information. We're living in this information age, this knowledge age, but I wonder how well we're doing. The Bible says, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Of course, today, many people believe that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, that truth is relative. So in other words, well, I'm only stealing from my boss, at least I'm not robbing banks. Therefore, because there's somebody worse than me, I'm okay. No, the truth is you're a thief. Amen. And just in case you wonder what the definition of an ex-thief is, the Bible is very clear. It says, let him who stole steal no more, but work with his own hands that he may give. Amen. So you're actually still a thief until you begin to give, but that's another story. So in these realities, I want to encourage you one more time. God made man in his image and in his likeness. And in that quest, what was God looking for? He was looking for fellowship. He was looking to bring many sons to glory. Like we said earlier, he was desperate for mankind. He was desperate for a bride. Excuse me. But man's quest for knowledge, to be smarter than God, to be cleverer than he was already made. So any one of us here who thinks that we can be cleverer than the design of God, I would personally think you have a problem. If anybody thinks that there's a better way, like young Daniel just prayed, you know, when he prayed over his child, that little princess, little Jubilee, one of the cutest little peanuts you'll ever see in your life, that what did he pray? We will not spare the rod. Now, I know a lot of people, they don't believe that, because their idea of raising children is superior to the idea and the ways of God. Amen. So therefore, their ideas are superior, and they keep eating off the knowledge tree, and they now are eating, listen, off of the knowledge of what they think is good. Amen. Yet it's contrary to God. And so this is why it's so important to understand God's opinion, and are we able to do that? So the message to the lost is you must be born again. You must be born again. Because if you eat of that tree, you will die. Adam disobeyed God. Eve disobeyed God. They went into rebellion. Many people put it into high treason. And from that time, they died. They didn't drop dead. Death in the Bible means separation. They were separated from God. God put them out of his domain. He put them out of his abundance. He put them out of every provision that he'd made for man. He put them outside and then guarded it. And from that time on, man went on a quest to try and get back to God and hopelessly, hopelessly failed. The message to the lost is you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a ruler of Israel, that that's born of the flesh is flesh. That that's born of the flesh has the DNA of the flesh. That that's born of the flesh has just the DNA of sin in that flesh. That's why flesh dies eventually. And so you must be born again. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough just to be dedicated as a baby. You must be born again. And once you're born again, what happens is Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. The reality is if man, through disobedience, produced death, and death, every seed bears fruit after its own kind, which is why the Bible says you were born dead in your trespass and sin, you have to become alive again. And Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. And give it more abundantly. And when God says he wants to give you life, what he's saying, he says, I want to join you back to God. I want to join you back to my Father. That there's no more any distance. There's no more flaming angels separating us from God. There's no more limitation. There's nothing stopping us from coming back into the full abundance, provision, and fellowship, and love of a Father that created us in his image. That's all gone when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one who took death. He tasted death for every man. He defeated death. Hallelujah. And he who believes in him will never die. You must be born again. But the message to the church is different. The message to the church is you must renew your mind. You must renew your mind. Now, I don't know about you, but of course, I'm a little old school, being raised in England. We had what they called RI in school, religious instruction, or RK, religious knowledge. I don't know how many of you did. Maybe some of you went to a religious school, but most of what they taught you was their indoctrination. It wasn't actually the truth. It was what man felt was the way they should do their church. But today, I would say most of the people in this room, the young people especially, you didn't hear one word about Jesus in school. And for 12 years minimum, before you went to college, all you were fed was knowledge from the wrong tree. All you were fed was the best excuse how to succeed without God by succeeding in a great nation and a great culture. Now, it's a sin to compare ourselves with other countries, but if I was to go down that road a moment, forgive me in that, I still believe, after all the countries I've visited, that this nation is the greatest nation in the world to live in. I thank God that I'm an American. I thank God to live in this country. However, there is something we call the American dream. There is something that that the American dream has been pretty much perpetrated and pressed forward by Hollywood, by media, by politics, by get rich quick, by a fast life, by defining success in man's way. And I'm beginning to think that it's a little bit bankrupt, that our system in this country is not working, that there are no guarantees in this country anymore. You cannot guarantee. How many of you have got a college degree but can't get a job? There was a time, you know, in this nation where as long as you could read and write, you could make it. The blue-collar man. You could always find a job. You could always labor. You could always make sure that if you worked and worked hard and worked well, that you would have a house and a home and a car and children. And these things were readily available. But today, where's our guarantee? And so that's why Paul said, under the hand of the Holy Spirit, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed. Now, most of us know that word transformed. It's the word metamorphosis, which means to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now, personally, I think of myself, butterfly, can't relate. Not after the Clash of the Titans, anyway. But I can't relate to be some crawly insect on the ground either, eating grubs. I'd much rather fly and be born of God and fly in the Spirit of God and be blown around by the Spirit of God than be trodden underfoot by man. And nevertheless, that's what the word means. Be not conformed to this system that is going bankrupt, but be transformed, born again. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now, why is this? Because when you're born again, your spirit is made brand new, wherever your spirit is. Your spirit somewhere between your toes and your nose, it's in there. Hallelujah. So your spirit is made brand new. The book of Corinthians says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So therefore, when you're born again, you are actually born again perfect. You're in the image and likeness of God again. Hallelujah. You've been restored. This is why the Bible says in the book of Acts, that heaven must contain him, Jesus, until all things are restored. This is why the scripture says, and I want people to make note of this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about he's given us the word of reconciliation. If you have a problem in your marriage, if you have a problem with your children, if you have a problem with a parent or anybody, a friend, any kind of problem, God has given us a word of reconciliation. And whatever way you're trying to make amends, trust me, if you use God's method, it will work. Amen. We heard a tremendous message here last night on forgiveness. There's two ways of inner healing in the Bible, repentance and forgiveness. I want to encourage you about repentance. Repentance is such a misused word, and it literally means change your mind. Or as you say to your children sometimes, what on earth are you thinking? And I see God in heaven when we're eating from the wrong tree saying, what are you thinking? Stop thinking your way. Stop this thirst, this quest for knowledge, for information. Don't Google when you got a problem. Bible when you got a problem. And this is a dilemma. I mean, you know, just ask yourself the question, how much time do you spend in the Word in a week? How many scriptures, chapters do you read? So you must understand the message to the church is renew your mind. Now, before we go any further, I want to say this. Let me just go down this road. You see, when you're born again, you get a brand new heart. The Bible says to take out your heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Everybody in this room that's born again, you have a good heart. It's your head's the problem. Now, let's talk about the heart. Say, oh man, is there somebody here who knows absolutely nothing about computers? Don't be afraid, just agree with me. Let's use Mike. The reason I'm using Mike is because I know Mike is a very skilled man, but not with computers. Now, I know Mike. I've known him for several years. I know his wife. Just want to congratulate her for just graduating with a graduate for your master's degree. I want to thank God. Well done, young lady. Just to let you know, we're not against education. I'm not saying that. The Bible says by the renewing of your mind, not the removal of your mind. So let's take Mike. Mike is a good-hearted man. I know Mike. He's generous. He's friendly. Some people say he's funny, but I'm English. I'm not sure about that. He likes to fish. He's always going to be there. I can guarantee if I ask him to help me to do many, many jobs, he would do that. He's got a good heart. But my computer's not working. So I don't care how good his heart is, his head's no good for the job. When your car breaks down, you're looking for a mechanic. Do yourself a favor. Don't call me. Gas, oil, water. What more do you need to know? That are my mechanical skills. Gas, oil, water. Oh, and of course there's that machine also for put stuff in the rubber things. Thanks, Ashley. She's only doing that because she's sitting next to a mechanic. So, oh yeah, I'm taking my car to get fixed to Vaughan. He's got a good heart. I don't want a good-hearted mechanic. I need a mechanic who knows cars. Now, of course, there's the other one. How would you like to stand before the beak, as we used to call them in England? The judge. You're standing before the judge, and we've got Alice as a lawyer. Alice has a good heart, but she don't know spit about law. She'll sing. She'll play, she'll prophesy, she'll go to India, she'll go to the othermost part of the earth, she'll got a good heart. She'll help you do anything. But I want Sharon with me when I'm standing before the beak. I need someone with a good mind and a good heart. And the last thought, Vinny, as you raise your hand and know nothing about computers, you had an operation, was it last year?
Yeah.
What did they give you? A new liver. Now, I'm sure the doctor had a good heart, but really, I don't care what kind of heart he's got. I want to know what kind of mind and hands he's got for the job.
Amen.
Are you with me? So therefore, it's not good enough as a Christian to have a good heart. Are we okay? It's not good enough. Oh, he's such a good-hearted guy. Yeah, I know, but he's useless because he hasn't renewed his mind. He doesn't understand what God has given him. God has given him something great. He's given him a new heart, but he said, I will put a new heart in you and write my word upon your heart. So until the word gets from the heart to the mind and the thought patterns, we are of no or little value. Do you understand?
Amen.
We're going to heaven? Praise God. That's pretty cool. But while we're on earth, we've got no reward. Little or no true fellowship with God because we don't understand. Just the Holy Spirit's quickening this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. Many in the church know this is my favorite chapter in the Bible. But the verse that I'm always saying is, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Who likes multiplication? Yeah. I want God to multiply things to me. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him. How many of you are praying for grace? It's not something you pray for. It's something you discover by renewing the mind. Love. We're over in Israel. We took a small team over to Israel. One of the girls sitting on the front row was, somebody from the church was, is this too much? Shall I change the subject? Okay. Text me, and it was Tim, her now husband's friend. And it was X that emailed me. So the week before we went to Israel, I preached a message on love is a knowledge. Now, I want you to hear this. Love is a knowledge. First of all, love is a spirit, because God is love and God is spirit. So love is a spirit. It's something that God gives you when you're born again. Do you know how much love you've got in your spirit? None of us have tapped into it yet. There is no end to it. It is an endless well, an endless and eternal cistern of love being put in our spirit. But as long as our thoughts are not tapped into that eternal spirit, then our thoughts are tapped into our own ability to love someone. Amen. And that's pretty shallow. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's pretty shallow. So I'm texting X back, and she says, oh, tell Tim I send him my knowledge. Now, I thought that was one of the most spiritually intellectual things I've ever heard. And I'm asking you that question today. Are you spiritually intellectual? Are you spiritually intellectual? Or is all of your spirituality wrapped up in some myth or some superstition or, you know, I hope so. Are you okay? You trusting God? Yes, I'm trusting God. I mean, we laugh at it, but think about it. You don't trust somebody just because your heart wants. Let's just finish the love thought. Here we go. Now, most people today, they put all their love in the department of emotion. Now, emotion is in your soul. Emotion is not endless. It's not limitless. Who here has ever felt emotionally bankrupt? Whoever here has felt overloaded? You're never overloaded in your spirit. You're overloaded in your emotions. You're overloaded. You know, I get overloaded from time to time. And the reality is because I haven't tapped into an endless source. I'm living out of the tree of knowledge, out of my own ability to forgive, my own ability to love, my own ability to get on with people. And that resource is so limited. And so I must ask you this question. I wrote it down. One must determine the condition of and where is your mind. Are you spiritually intellectual? You see, if you know God can't let you down. I was told, I said this last night, I was at a conference this week, excellent conference, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown down in Tampa, Florida. One of his main speakers was Andre Rabert with a massive work in East London, in Southern Africa. And their ministry, their communication of knowing God. That's why Paul said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay. So he challenged me to the core, and this is what he challenged me with. All of your stories of yesterday are an echo. What God is doing today in your life is your voice. If God's doing nothing in your life today, then you're just an echo. Oh, oh. And I've got 31 years of echoes. I've got some stories. Hallelujah. But I want to know, what is God doing now? Don't get me wrong. Those stories bring to me, they help me bring to mind how God has never let me down and he's not going to let me down now. But if I allow my mind to wander away from that, then all I've got is the other tree and I'm doomed. And so I want to encourage you with this thought right now. The scripture says, I believe it's in the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. It says, if you then be risen with Christ. In fact, in the Greek, it would be more accurate to say, since you then are risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so, let's face it, all of our problems, do you know your emotions will always lead you away from God? I want everybody to hear that. I'm going to say that again. Do you realize your emotions will always lead you off the path of God? Because they'll deceive you. They'll deceive you. Do you know how many Christians live their life by emotions? I can tell as soon as somebody gets bad news. What's their reaction? Do they gird up the loins of their mind and sober and rest their hope fully upon the grace of God that has been brought to them through the revelation of Jesus Christ? Or do they go, ah, ha, ha, and fall apart? Now, don't get me wrong. I got some bad news this week. Wednesday morning, just going into the conference. I was just going to turn my phone off. I saw one message. I thought, oh, let's just read it quick. And it said, a dear friend of mine, in fact, the dearest friend of mine in South Africa, was killed in a car crash. That's the second one in 2 months. You know, I really didn't want another. There's something about people dying, but there's something about people getting killed that has a different reaction. And I'll be honest with you. I went, ah, and I walked out. And I just had to compose myself because it hurt. He was a friend of mine. It hurt. But it didn't take long before I pulled it back in and began to think, okay, what can I do? How can I help? How do I console the family? And began to draw out of my spirit because my emotions were in pain. I tell many people again about my Princess Alice, how when she was a little girl, and I always tell the same story because it's so vivid in my mind, is when we're at the house up in Lexington, New York, and she come running in. I don't know how old she was, 8 or 9 or whatever, and there was blood everywhere. How many of you have ever seen your children covered in blood? That's a moving, stirring thing. It's a terrible thing to your sight, to your vision. And I'd encourage all of you to hear what I'm saying today and try and take heed. She came in, of course, everybody, oh, that's pretty rough seeing a little princess covered in blood. But I knew that my emotions weren't going to help. So I went up and said, Alice, what happened? What happened? She sobered up. She said, I fell over and hit my nose. Okay, I couldn't even see where the blood was coming from. There was so much of it. So I laid hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over it. And I just, stuff came out of my mouth. I didn't even know that I knew that much about noses and faces. And she stopped crying. And everybody else stopped panicking. And then I said, oh, come on, little princess. Did Daddy come and clean you up? And I took her in the bathroom and I cleaned the blood off of her face. You see, you do it the other way around. You're just coming out of your emotions. And it won't lead you to God. You must renew your mind. Now, let me say a couple of things here. Learning is not renewing your mind. Learning is not renewing your mind. How many of you took algebra at school and still remember your algebra? Now, there's 5 or 6 of you. Yeah. That's not bad as a percentage. You see, your mind was never renewed by algebra. You just had to pass the test. So your mind wasn't renewed. How do I know this? I've been to the circus. Been a while, but I've been to the circus. And I've seen an elephant stand on a ball just like they do in Africa. Can see it now, can't you? Driving through the bush, and there's 3 dozen elephants standing on boars. Now that is a pretty good visual. Even I like that. So the elephant has been trained, but it hasn't renewed its mind. It's still an elephant. You can go to, I think it was in Florida somewhere, actually, I don't know where it was. Was it recent? Was it last year, Tony? I can't remember. Somebody got killed by a killer whale. They got in the water with a killer whale. And the killer whale killed them. No. Really? Think about it. What the heck are you thinking? But I'm its trainer. Yeah, but you haven't renewed its mind. You see, if you've only been trained in Christianity, as they say, you can do the algebra. But there aren't that many people who remember how to do it because they weren't renewed in their mind. They were just trained how to be like a Christian. Come on, folks, help me this morning. It's hot in here. How many Christians are just trained to be Christians, but they haven't renewed their mind? They're not thinking like God. You say you can't think like God. Really? Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Now, before we go any further, in fact, I'm not going to get too much covered today. I'm going to keep this subject going on for 2 or 3 weeks because I believe it's vital. Amen. Until you renew your mind, your Christianity will be an emotional roller coaster. You'll wonder why you're not getting the victory. You wonder why your relationships aren't better. You wonder why your finances aren't in order. You wonder why your health is still struggling. It's because all you're doing is emotionally having this relationship with God, who you know exists. You know it because you've got a new heart and a good heart, and there's a witness in your spirit that there's a God, but you don't understand God. Because you haven't renewed your mind. All right, let's just go on. Listen, I want to say this. You cannot have a spiritual life without knowing the Word of God. You can't. You know, we had a revival here start last year, February. And to be honest, it blew a lot of people out of the water. It blew me out of the water. It made me think, what's going on? Where have I been? What's my mind been going through in the last? That we began to see the power of God moving again. We began to see the power of God, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, hitting people. Amen. Now, a lot of people are scared by this because our mind is such a long way from the supernatural reality. We're talking about God here. Amen. We're not talking about some tradition. We're talking about a God who's defeated death. We're talking about a God that has rebirthed billions of people in the world. That has taken, last night, one of our pastors stood up and preached about the fact how he used to smoke 4 packs a day. And how, as a truck driver, between each cigarette, he would smoke marijuana. And how he would buy 1,000 pills at a time while he was driving from Pennsylvania to California back every day of his life. And how he would drink and how he was going on and on and on. And then when he got born again, God took it completely away from him immediately. Amen. No cold turkey, no, you know, going to Alcoholics Victorious or anything. He just went and God set him free in one hit. Hallelujah. We're talking about a God who can do that. But until your mind is renewed into what else came, what was in that package of power when Christ was risen from the dead, God, Hallelujah. And do you know what? I've come to the conclusion, really, so I think I have, is that we believe it's always for someone else, you know. It's Brian that prays for people on the street to get healed. Really, what the heck's that? It's called Jesus Christ, not the life of Brian. Now, come on, there must be somebody in here who got that. I'm not the Messiah. Anyway. I was talking about circuses, remember? Got me? Thanks, Grace. Anyway, enough of that, Python. Right. You cannot have a spiritual life without the Word of God. The reality is, this morning we had an outstanding teaching in our discovery class this morning. Pastor Rich and his wife Diane talked about the word doctrine. Doctrine. And how in the church, spiritual people say, oh, I'm not into all that doctrine stuff. Well, you should, because doctrine is the sound knowledge of God. A sound knowledge of God. And it's important. Without the Word of God, you cannot be spiritual, because it's the Word that is a lamp unto your feet. Okay, one thing I just want to do, and I'm going to keep going for a few more minutes. There's a difference between the renewing of your mind and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the spirit of your mind is where you must start. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I love that squeak. You don't have to go out. Ephesians 4, 17, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now, do you sometimes wonder why you're still struggling with old habits? Come on, folks. I know people around here are struggling with old habits. Do you still wonder why you're struggling with old thoughts? Do you still wonder? I'll tell you why. It's because we used to be Gentiles in the futility of our mind. Futility. No self-help program will renew your mind. It will just teach you how to stand on a ball. No longer as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, been alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Yesterday, Pastor Josh told a great story. I was at a gas station, getting a cup of coffee. A guy next to me saw that Josh had some paint on his jeans. Josh going to work as a contractor, or a bit more than that, but... And the guy said, well, you're a painter. Well, not exactly, but yeah, we do some painting. Oh, I'm a painter. I'm looking for work. And he's going on. And then Josh, of course, is going to give him time, hoping he's going to be able to get a witness in here, get a word in, you know. This guy's going on. Oh, yeah, I was working for my dad there down the city, but he won't pay me off the books. And, yeah, I ain't going to pay no tax. And he's going on and raving against his dad and everybody else. And Josh is just waiting, you know. The guy's all these tattoos and all these, yeah, me, I know. You ever met guys like that? Hallelujah. Yeah. And then he said, yeah, my dad, he's one of these born-again guys. He gives all his money to God, you know, and he's going on and on. So now Josh is going, oh, all right. Okay, I think we're on the right road here. And so Josh out of the blue says, how's your dad's business doing? Oh, he's doing great, man. He's got work all over the place. He's got so much work, he don't know what to do with it. And Josh says, oh, do you think there may be a link there? And this guy went, oh, never thought of that. the futility of his mind. He's knocking his dad, and his dad's rolling in money, and this guy's scratching around trying to find work as a gas station. Oh. Now, we're all laughing. How many of us are scratching around at a gas station looking for a painting job? How many of us are scratching around hoping for God to do something? Because we're too, hold it, here we go, here's the clicker, here's time to leave. We're too lazy to renew our minds. We're too lazy to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We think we're going to get it by the laying on of hands. Not. I tell you what the laying of hands can do. I tell you what worship can do. I tell you what prayer can do. I tell you what fellowship can do. It can renew the spirit of your mind. It can change your attitude. Now, I've found that most people, what I call revival people or anointing junkies, of which I am one. I'm an anointing junkie. I can't live without the presence of God. I can't live without the anointing. I'm an anointing junkie. But I think I know the word pretty good. And I know how much of my mind has been renewed. So it's not an either or thing. It's a both and. And we are without excuse. So just to try and wrap today up. Oh yeah, let me just finish this in Ephesians 4. So it says, you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, listen to this, as truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Put off. Somebody say, put off. Well, we all had our baby dedication here, and I heard this example recently, and it made me laugh. I don't know about you, but then again, I'm English. Or was. And they said, listen, when you got a baby and he messes his diaper, which we all still do from time to time, are we okay? Like, you know, like babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so there's a link there, right? Said, one thing you got to make sure you take the diaper off first before you try and put on a clean one. You got to put off the old man, and the only way you can put off the old man is by him being renewed in the spirit of the man. Do you realize you have all the provision of God in your spirit? All of it. You have all the love you'll ever need, or the peace you'll ever need, or the joy you'll ever need, or the provision you'll ever need, or the healing. It's already in there in Christ Jesus. But until our mind is so convinced by renewing it that our mind agrees with our spirit and God then comes out. It's that simple. Not easy. I said it's that simple. So being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay. And this is what I just want to take a minute on this. Before you can renew the spirit of your mind, you have to settle what is God's intention. Now, I know as a pastor that when you talk to many Christians and over the years, now it's been over 30 years, do you know you have a subconscious problem with God that you think God is trying to meddle with your life? You think that his plan for your life, you know, we don't have time to serve God. There's a better way called serving the other tree, called serving the bankrupt vision. I don't have time to press into the blessing of God. I'm going to the gas station for work. You see what I'm saying? And it sounds a little overdone. I don't want to overcook this thought, but the reality is this. Anybody here? Is Stacy here? Where's Stacy when you need her? Not here. She must be with the children. Anybody here know that verse out of Jeremiah? I think it's 29:11. Stand up and say it loud, Don. Say it again loud.
I know the plans that I have for you, the plans of peace and not of evil, plans to give you hope and to give you good future.
And some translation says, and to give you an expected end. How many of us are really believing it? How many of us really believe that if I was to repent from my thoughts, be renewed in the spirit, the attitude of my mind, begin to be spiritually intelligent, begin to spend time that the word, that his word, it's like he said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And with all meekness to receive the engrafted word that is able to save my soul. And yet somehow we think, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I want to encourage you to think about these things. Encourage you to think about the renewing of your mind. Encourage you, for instance, we have a reading program every month that we put out that is just 3 chapters a day or 5 chapters if you want to do the advanced program. But these are things that are essential or your Christian walk won't be any different 5 years from now. You'll still be knocking on wood. You'll still be wondering what God wants. You'll still be wondering whether does he love me today or not. And then when your husband yells at you, you think God doesn't love you anymore. And your children backslide, you think God doesn't have a plan for your life or their life. When somebody gets sick, you think that the whole world is collapsed and God has neglected you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And these things are so essential. I'm going to leave it now because I just feel a little pressed on the time factor. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. Begin to allow the word of God to renew your mind for one reason and no other. He knows better than we do. You can trust me on that statement. So I'm changing the subject. 3 years ago, a young man came to one of, when we lived in the, worked, in the other building. A man from Overland Missions came and shared a word about missions. 2 young men actually went down to Africa, Zambia, to the advanced missions training with Overland Missions for 3 months. That was 3 years ago. And now, this young man called Joe Colucci has been to Africa many times. And this Tuesday, Joe is leaving for Zambia. He's not only going down to Zambia, he's leading or part leading a team that's going to go into Mozambique, going to go into Malawi, and into Zimbabwe. And the reason I'm saying this is he is no longer going on a mission trip. He is our first career missionary that we're sending from this church. This is a great moment in his life, a great moment in our life. Joe, come forward. We want to pray for you. Joe, we're proud of you, man. And we just want to thank God for you. It's not an easy thing. This guy has actually made a decision for the rest of his life. He's not going on a mission trip. We've all been on mission trips. For the rest of his life, this is his career. He's studied to show himself approved unto God. He's been, it's agreed by the Ministry of Overland Missions, who we're part of, it's been agreed by this house that this man represents us. He represents Overland Missions. He represents Jesus Christ as an ambassador into the world. This is our first man. We are thrilled. We're delighted with you, Joe. We're proud of you. We want to give honor where honor's due. And we're going to send him out this morning, and we're going to bless him in the name of the Lord. Because it's not that often. Let me say this about this nation. For our guests, many of you don't know that I came to America in 1978 as a foreigner, and I'd never been to church in my life. And because of the goodness and the kindness and the mercy and the friendliness and the generosity of the American people, I was born again. They turned my hardened heart, my eyes opened, and God was able to get in there and give me new life because of the people of this land. This country has been a missionary sending nation from its beginning. We must never forget that. We must realize that part of the purpose of our great land is to be generous. One of the reasons why we're a blessed country is because we sow so much into the nations of the world. We're not going to hold back. Those of you that want to start by going to Jamaica, then now is the time to do it and watch God provide for you. Can you say amen? Let's all stand together. I'm going to give thanks for Joe. The pastor's come out quickly. Let's give thanks.